from the Association of Governing Boards.
This is for, we're recording the session.
So. Oh, that's very important. I'm sorry. And my colleague, Jim McCormick, and I are so pleased to be with you, especially for this listening session from which we learned so much about your expectations for your new leadership, for your new president. And Jim is going to run through for you the general process that AGB Search follows and why these listening sessions are so important when we go from to any site, and especially to a university campus. You should know, too, that as a part of these listening sessions, we have visited with several groups. We did this last week. We're going to continue today, tomorrow, and Wednesday as well, thanks to the co-chairs establishing many of these meetings. We thus far have met with, we're meeting with all of your deans and the vice presidents, and looking forward to meeting with the constituency group leadership, as well as in these general sessions with the general public and your university public, too, all of the constituencies that are able to come. So, Jim, I think I'll introduce you. Our background, if you're interested, is on the AGB Search website, Association of Governing Boards website, of which your university is a member, by the way, the Association of Governing Boards. But if you have any particular questions about my background or Jim's, Jim happens to be a former chancellor of two systems, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, and a president. We have, since we've worked together for so many years, we've hired a lot of presidents, too, 50 or more. That doesn't mean that this search is not almost the most important one or equally important to every other search that we have had the pleasure to do. So, Jim?
Thank you, Janice. And I want to acknowledge the members regions, the board that's here. Please just stand up and tell the group who you are as the people that oversee the system, please.
Hey, I'm Nancy
Butker.
I'm new on the board of regents this year. I'm from Harlan, Iowa. My brother, husband, Dave.
Welcome. Larry.
I'm Larry McKibben from Marshalltown, down the road about 35 miles to the east.
Congratulations, and thank you for your service to the state of Iowa.
I was a graduate teaching assistant here at Iowa State. I will not say what year that was.
Yes. Thank you. First of all, thank you for taking the time to come. This is, I think, about the most important thing that a governing board does is approve a process and make a good decision. So thank you for coming and listening, too. AGB is Association of Governing Boards. It's has a long history, almost 100 years. And our organization, a few years ago, wrote the book on presidential search, and it can be available. There are other good firms, too. That is my point. But we've been in this a long time. Janice and I have 37 other consultants who are doing searches across the country and 12 researchers. So we have that background at AGB. I want to tell you, I could go over a timeline. The committee has, the search committee has pretty much developed the committee, and it's available on the timeline. But I just want to talk to you generally, because we want to get to listening very quickly. It's our experience that one of the most important parts of a search is what we call pre-search. And I think it's the most important thing next to, finally, the board hiring a great person. And what we try to do in the pre-search is read everything we can about your great university, and we're very honored, by the way, to have been selected to assist. I use the word assist because we don't make decisions. We assist the committee, assist the board. But this pre-search is a time for us to get to know the institution. So we were here last week, meeting with a number of individuals, and we're here this week, and we're meeting with as many people as we can. We're meeting with the deans, we're meeting with students, we're delighted to see community people here, and we're trying to listen and understand basically three questions. But anything else that anybody wants to say is welcome. What are the challenges that will be facing this new leader? And what are the experience and characteristics of this new leader that you think we need in order for them to accomplish that? And then you have this very outstanding university, AAU, so many things we could talk about. But we want to be able to make sure that potential candidates know why they want to come here and why they ought to come here. So in our listening, let's hear challenges. Let's hear ideas about what kind of credentials and experience the person needs. But let's talk about the great things here, too. And we have a schedule already tentatively agreed to by the committee. And we'll be listening for two more weeks. And then we will try to write a very comprehensive ad that will express what it is you believe you need. And that will be sent back to the committee chair and the committee and the board so that they can make any suggestions that they would like to make so that we go out to the country, out to the nation, maybe even the world, and it was with a high level of agreement about what it is we need and what we're looking for. And that's why this process is terribly important. And then another reason why we need to spend this time and try to understand is that it won't be unusual. You could have 100 or more candidates. It won't be unusual for them to call one of us and want to talk to us about the institution and about the search and so on. We spend half an hour to an hour with many people and sometimes second discussions because the person you want is going to be very careful about applying and so on. So we want to know the institution to some degree. And we always say, if there's information about the university they want, let us know and we'll get it without revealing who they are. And so that's a process. So we build the next 6 or 8 weeks after that, you build the pool. And you learn to know candidates. And when we do that by reaching out to people, getting nominations, it's advertised so somebody could apply without being nominated. And we know people all over the country, including our 37 other consultants, and we will be trying to encourage a great pool. And then the next stage is, and I think this would happen with the committee, when we get the pool built, and we've given a recommended deadline, then every member of the committee will have an opportunity to review the letter of application, why they think they're the right person, review the resume, and we will have identified 5 references. We don't check them just yet. And so then the committee will have a meeting with the committee here in this community with looking at all those candidates. And the goal of that day will be to identify semifinalists, 8 or 10. It'll be up to the committee, but we'll identify those individuals. And we'll talk with them about their continued interest. There'll be discussions, but they'll be interviewed. And growing out of that, this search committee will make a decision about the 3 to 5 that should be brought to the campus later. And our board chair gave us that charge of producing 3 to 5. And those individuals will be interviewed in detail, in quite depth, by the search committee. And then growing out of that, with reference checks occurring at 2 or 3 levels and the vetting, then those individuals, it is the plan that they will be invited to the campus, invited to the university. And during that time, it's our recommendation that you give them time. Don't rush it. Don't have another candidate there the first, second day. You need a week, 10 days. To do that, have them come and have them meet people and maybe the community. And one of the biggest jobs of the search committee is first to review all these applications. But then usually the search committee takes a heavy role with the 2 co-chairs in planning the week or so of the visit. That becomes very important because now you've shifted to not only they want to be part of it, but now you want them to continue to be interested. And we have some ideas about all of that, but it's often the search committee that hosts that. But there'll be open and wide discussions. And then the plan would be then for the search committee to get some feedback. Either you will develop your own system or we have a system that could be used to get the feedback from the constituencies about these 3 to 5. And then to give that to the board, the knowledge of the pluses and minuses. But we encourage no ranking at that point. And then it becomes the opportunity of the board to interview these 3 to 5 and make a decision. And I think they're hoping to move that along through August, September, early October, and I think it's the intention to try to get to a decision with the hope that the person might be here at the beginning of the semester. That can depend on their contract and other things, but that's kind of the process. And So what we need to do now, and I've talked too much already. Janice, is there anything we need to add to that process?
Only that I'll stand and respond to any kind of inquiry you may have after you speak with us. But I am going to be taking notes. You know that this session is being recorded anyway, but we'll be taking notes and without attribution.
Okay. I think it would be, first of all, the co-chair of the committee. Is there anything you want to add? Because you're key to this whole thing.
I just wanted to say, I mean, for me, it's very important to be as inclusive as possible. So the idea that this is going to be included in the website, the recording of this session, the previous one, and the next two will be there so people know how you feel about the search. And also remind everybody, I will say this until you're going to get very tired of hearing me say this, you know, use the email address, you know, presidentsearch@iastate.edu, and go to the website www.presidentsearch.iastate.edu to get news about what's going on in the search and to submit your comments. We really want to hear from everybody. The summer is challenging, so if you know of people that is not in town, that is that needs to participate, send them these two links, and hopefully we'll hear from them that way.
So,
Anne, thank you. And I might add that if you know people in the university, around the country, that should be nominated, just do it. Because then we'll take it from there and tell them they've been nominated and begin discussions with whether or not they really want to apply. And so everybody's welcome to nominate individuals, and I'm sure that some will come from the academic community, because your leaders know people all over the country that are out saying, please come in and be welcome. And so now what we'd like to do is to listen. And you know, old teachers and administrators, sometimes that's hard, so I'm going to try to discipline myself not to talk anymore, and we need to listen. And so why don't we start with the question, what are the challenges that this new leader is going to face? What are the challenges? And I hope somebody I can bring the microphone to help. If somebody would like to give us a start.
Step up here.
Do I see?
You can come up here. And
okay, fine. Thank you.
I'll just help with the mic if whoever wants to.
Hi, I'm Joe Clitty, the Senior Associate Dean in the College of Ag and Life Sciences. That's the Dean for Budget, Personnel, and Research. In terms of challenges for Iowa State, clearly the budget, the state budget and the federal budget are the two things that really are top of mind. And, you know, we have to figure out exactly what are the things that we can leverage or talk to our state legislators about in the governor's office about to ensure that there is the appropriate state funding, or maybe some change in some of the different line items in the state budget. And also the federal budget is going to be, if there are the cuts, the deep cuts that happen, it's probably not going to really happen. The President Trump's proposed budget for 18 is exactly that. He proposes the Congress disposes. So they'll have a different budget, but we will suffer something if there are significant cuts, particularly in the research arena and education. The other challenge is our budget model. The budget model is not one that really fits us in all ways. It is one that really is focused on undergraduate reallocation, and that's it. And I won't say too much more about that, but we really need to have a different budget model. And then the overarching question is, what's the optimal size of the university, given all the different resource inputs and the constraints that we have to work under? You know, should we be putting the brakes on or right-sizing in some other way for this university in terms of total student population, undergraduate, graduate students, postdocs, and that sort of thing.
Would you want to go back to your first observation and talk a little bit about the skill set of the future president and how they might work with legislatures and the federal people and so on. Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, I think in my notes on about skill sets are exactly that. We have to have somebody who really has experience, not just knows about it, but has some expertise working with, federal lawmakers and the state lawmakers. It really has to have some, legislative acumen that they can really work with whatever administration is in power at the federal level or the state level, and to get the job done for the good of the order for Iowa State University. That also means that individual, our next president, needs to have an understanding of the relationship between the public and private sectors. We're long past the time where it's only going to be state funds or federal funds that are going to operate this great university. We need to have ability to have the right partnerships with the private sector, whether those for additional scholarships or their research type of partnerships. Or simply maybe just that the economic engine potential of Iowa State has to be recognized more deeply and fully through those partnerships with the private sector. There has to be a strong relationship and understanding of the alums and the value that not only alumni but friends can bring to the whole enterprise and in generating resources or generating support for whatever the program might be. If it's a new program or just continuing scholarships or the base general fund support or line item support for Iowa State.
I'm hearing leadership on fundraising, both private and public, and being
correct.
State and the national. And that's going to be a challenge. And to show you how this fits together, what I told you on the scale, we'll try to work that in to kind of the challenges and what we're looking for. And then as the committee meets, and we do reference checks, we can try to determine the degree to which the person's had some success. And when the committee actually gets down to the questions, there might be a couple of very important questions on that front. So thank you very much.
I'm just passing the mic. Not going to speak.
So we're in the question of challenges.
Good evening. My name is Michael. I'm a doctoral candidate in the higher education program, which is in the School of Education. In particular, I study graduate education and issues of social justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion broadly. So biggest challenge, or one big challenge I see, is the love of striving for prestige, rankings, metrics. You know, there can only be so many in the top 10 or top 25. There can only be so many quantitative metrics to judge success or happiness. You know, it's an easy marketing tool to say that we're ranked in a particular category of a particular program. It's easy to talk about record donations. And I think that love of, I mean, we do operate in a business model. Education and higher education certainly is structured as a business. But I think the challenge is to move away from that and tell the stories and perspectives that don't always come from a survey or don't come from what U.S. News and World Reports tells us. You know, I think a challenge is that universities are becoming more and more similar. Everyone's striving for the same students, the same experience. We're trying to get the same type of residence halls and cafeterias and rec services. And I think we at some point need to be okay with being different and knowing that different may not show up in a ranking and may not show up as something to market with a number. So I think that's one big challenge for this next president is to just recognize and understand the role that these do have, but also not getting too obsessed with it. The second challenge I would say is this, you know, education is both a public and a private good. I think society right now is pretty frustrated with what higher education is showing it can do, and it's shifting, the pendulum has swung a bit more to the private good. And I think the challenge for the president is to, next president, is to show how education can be beneficial to society and why society should support it and what we are doing to change and adapt and recognize the good that all students and faculty and extension and staff can bring to both the local and global areas. And then lastly, I think the issues of diversity, inclusion, equity, social justice, all four of those words mean something different to me in context of higher education and what the president can do. I think here it tends to get siloed into certain divisions, departments, staffing roles. 2 years ago, our president says he doesn't see race. I think we need a president who recognizes the socio-historical and cultural elements that we live in and how education's been evolved over time, who's been included and not included, and how stuff in the 1800s and 1900s and even today still impacts students over generations. And I think that is part of a character element, part of a moral factor, and also someone who's taken the time to study the history and is willing to stand up and not always send it to committee and student groups and say, we'll work on this behind closed doors. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? I could enter into a discussion on each one of those, but I think that's not our purpose right now. So please add to that, bring up some new ideas, please.
My name's Cody Smith. I'm the vice president of the student body this year. Came tonight because I'm not able to attend the listening session tomorrow. I would like to commend everyone who gave comments so far. I think we're all in agreement. And let me just say, I'm glad I'm not going to be this person. And as we move forward, I think that there's two main concerns that I think will be echoed tremendously tomorrow night with the students that show up. The biggest lack from this current administration that we've had outgoing now it's a lack of transparency and really just getting information out to people who need it. It's not always getting information out for people to interact with. It's about getting it there for when they do need it. So I think that a lot of public relations issues that we had as a university this year could have been avoided by being proactive in that sense. And I think students want somebody who they recognize not just briefly when they see them on TV or not just briefly when they brush by them on campus. I think students want a person to emulate what Iowa State is and how welcoming we are to people from all backgrounds. And I think that as we continue to move forward, that's something that I find really important. And then kind of to echo what Dean Colletti said, I think that something that's extremely important and the biggest challenge over anything that faces Iowa State is budget. So we need somebody who has legislative experience or at least knows how they can not only tell legislators where we can get funding from or how we can assist students in getting their higher education, but we need to show them. We need them to show them how they impact all 99 counties in Iowa and then even furthermore over the United States and throughout the world, because we are a world-known institution, and we should be able to have a president who highlights that in every interaction with the regents, with the state legislators, because that's the biggest problem that we're going to face.
I wanted to go back to your one first point. As we write this material, you have so many things to be proud of. And I think you said that being one of 63 universities with an AAU status is very important to hold on to, though, right? Should we feature that? Talk about that a little bit. I mean, that's something that is not easy to retain, not easy to get. Is that something that we should talk about as we try to get candidates?
From my perspective, the Iowa State embraces its AAU status. We have faculty whose job responsibilities often entail 50% of more of research activities, and that's one of the good criteria of AAU is to produce relevant and needed knowledge. So I think that status is needed. I think you really need to then have a president who understands the disciplinary differences between each college, that it's not as easy in some disciplines as others to produce knowledge that it's consumable and that companies want to pay for. But I think the AAU status can continue, and it may not, I don't know if the typical Iowa undergraduate freshman knows what AAU is and whether it impacts their college experience. That's probably not on their list of considerations, but for a president who obviously has more stakeholders than that, I might as well promote that.
One of the questions that we'll get from these candidates, you have produced a strategic plan, a 7-year plan, I think, was approved by the Regents in 2016. Most of you, particularly at the university, have you seen that plan? Is that a plan that has some ownership on the part of the community? It's a wonderful statement, I think, not to have an opinion, but it's a wonderful statement on what land-grant universities do, I think. Is that something that we should be making sure that all candidates get a chance to see, and that might be something the committee would want to ask them their views on? Any thoughts on that plan?
I'll just add something that I think the next president faces many challenges in publicizing that plan and getting the community on board. I think that those of us who are involved and know what the plan is, I think we're all on board with that and the steps laid out within the plan, but we need to come together as a community and have a president who's able to lead that transition into achieving the goals in the plan. So I think that we need somebody who has that vision and really aligns with the plan that's already there and is able to bring that sense of community to bring everybody together to accomplish those
goals. A terrific question for the committee to ask all of your final candidates that they're interviewing is, have you seen the plan? They better have had. And then what do you think of it? And do you think it's a good plan? So that might be one of the questions that emerges when you're doing the interview. Okay, other thoughts? I don't want to call on people, but we have the head of the chamber here, and I want to get him to talk about what's important for the business community. So I can bring the microphone back, or we can just listen a while. But please, we'd like to hear from you, though. It's important.
Okay, I'll go. Just off of what Cody said, I think having somebody that not only knows about the land-grant system but has lived in it as an administrator at some level, that's going to be important. So with all deference to, say, Stanford, if we have somebody that just went through Stanford University and then comes to us, I don't think that's going to be a good fit. They really have to understand that we're not recruiting the top 5% of the high school students. We have to go deeper by our land-grant mission. We also have to have that notion of the three legs of the mission. Extension and research, extension and outreach has to be there along with research and with teaching. And I think another point, and this sort of was alluded to by Cody, we have an outstanding university that really takes teaching very seriously. And the teaching is really hands-on, experiential. It's the type of teaching that really helps to prepare the student for a lifelong learning experience. And a lot of, I have colleagues at other universities, a lot of other public universities, private universities, and really the teaching that occurs is just that. We're really focused on learning, the student achieving learning outcomes. So I think we need to have a president that really understands about achieving student learning outcomes and making sure that the students have those opportunities both in the classroom and outside so they can excel. And now Dan.
Well, good evening. I'm Dan Culhane. I'm the president and CEO of the Ames Chamber of Commerce and Ames Economic Development Commission. And I wouldn't begin to try and talk about what's good for this next candidate on campus. But what I can talk about is how powerful this institution is and what a driver of economic growth and vitality it is for not only Ames, but Central Iowa and really the entire state. As a land-grant institution, Iowa State University, I believe, has an office in all 99 counties in our state. And so this leader, whether it's he or she, really needs to be externally focused too. We enjoyed a considerable amount of economic success and opportunity during the Leith administration, in large part because he was very entrepreneurial. He liked engaging with the private sector a great deal. And as a result, we benefited from that as a community. And so on behalf of nearly 700 members of the Ames Chamber of Commerce, a very diverse business community, but yet a community that is really driven in its economic prosperity is driven by this institution, we really hope to see someone in this chair who does all the things that all of you folks are talking about, and when they have a little time left over, can also be a really good partner with the community. You know, you hear a lot about town and gown relationship, and we had a very good town and gown relationship with Dr. Leith, with Dr. Joffrey prior to that. There's been a long, long, long history of really good relationships between Beardshire Hall, City Hall, and the Chamber of Commerce building, and we'd like to see that continue because we think that's good for the institution. We think if Ames is vibrant and vital, it also helps the university attract faculty, key faculty. It also helps attract students. And, you know, I think we've grown with the university over the last 7 to 10 years. I've been here about 10 years, and it's been fun to see. And I'm also an Iowa Stater. I'm a graduate from 1993. It's exciting to see the vibrancy that this institution creates in this community. Without Iowa State, we'd just be another town with the railroad running through it. But we're not. We're the home of a wonderful land-grant institution that's an immense source of pride as we talk to companies around the world about locating in our Iowa State University Research Park or somewhere in one of our business parks here in our community. And so I would urge the search committee to be mindful of that person also having an external voice that focuses on not just Ames. We are the host community of Iowa State. But the entire state of Iowa, because there is a responsibility as a land-grant institution to work on behalf of the greater good of the state of Iowa. And I think we've had a good history of doing that, and I'd like to see that continue.
Thank you very much. Others, please?
Just one thing that has been recurring in other comments, you know, the last three participants. It's, for me, after studying the history of land grants, you know, we talked a little bit about this, they were created to become the innovation engine for the United States. So that's why they were created. I think Iowa State has been the innovation agent for the state of Iowa in many respects, you know, in different areas, innovation agent at the country, for the country and around the world. And I think this idea that this person is going to continue that tradition, actually understand what is the future of the land grants, is critical. So.
You're talking about vision, looking to the future, things are changing.
And how all the triple mission, you know, the land grant triple mission actually comes together, you know, and improves the quality of life of people, you know, improves not only economically, but also, you know, socially, culturally, in many different dimensions. It impacts the lives of families in the state and across the country. So.
Thank you. Now, he did such a good job earlier today that he's going to get the microphone here to wrap this up so we don't miss anything here. I've heard from important people. You did an excellent job. Thank you. We have records of that. I heard something, maybe two or three of you, suggesting that maybe this large enrollment increase might be a challenge. Now, there are a lot of colleges and universities across the country that would like to have that challenge. Would somebody want to talk about that a little bit? How's that a challenge, or... Is that a good thing, or did you take too many students without enough resources? What does that really mean? Would somebody want to add to that?
Yeah, it is really about having enough resources. Space is the number one resource that we're lacking, and we're just really, to use an ag term, the bin is busting. And so we are going to be coming online with some new space, but it may not be enough at the right time. We're still going to be going very late into the evening, early in the morning, with labs and that sort of stuff. So there's safety concerns and other things. The other is actually just about people resource, having the right number of teaching faculty, of resources for TAs and in classes and things like that. And then just the infrastructure, the quality of the labs that we have, for example, the equipment that they have to work with,
We have to constantly upgrade those, and those are really, I think there's a backlog on that. Certainly at the whole university level, there's a backlog on major renovation and upgrade in some very, very old buildings. So it's really sort of a combination of all those resource limitations. Big deferred maintenance.
So that's a challenge. Do people give in the private sector
to improving, they may give new buildings, but can you raise private, does this person need to be able to raise some private money to upgrade the buildings, or will the state continue to do a lot of that, or does that have to be shared? Is that a challenge? In other words, upgrade the buildings. Can you use public money and private money? Is that a challenge for your new president? Anybody want to add to that?
I don't want to dominate, but it is a challenge, and there will be a combination. I mean, there are going to be some donors that, with the right approach, that this is something that appeals to them to renovate a lab and have a. It might be a company. It might be an alum. It might just be a friend of a particular college or the university. So there will be opportunities, too, to go to state or use state funds. It's going to be a combination of the general education funds, the 700 funds, plus maybe some of the line items, and then also tuition dollars that we can put into different space renovations, whether it's lab or just IT type of renovations and so on.
I'm just going to comment back on what your previous question was regarding the increased enrollment. When it happened throughout past 5 years I don't think so the university and the community was ready for that thing. If a president is coming with the vision of increasing from 30,000 to 36,000, there has to be enough houses on the community for the students to come and rent them. And I'm talking for a lot of international students who come sometimes late because of their visa process does not get approved, and they don't have apartment to rent, and they are just like wandering around the Ames community. That's one of the... And the other issue we just talked earlier today on another meeting was our Wi-Fi system, as simple as that. Our Wi-Fi system was not ready to have 36,000 multiplied by 3 devices every student bringing on campus. So issues which are such small issues, but it affects student experience here. So when you are thinking with some vision, put the whole team together and say, this is my vision for next 5 years, and let's work on it in every department that you lead. So something that I had to talk about.
Hello, I'm Bharat Agrawal. I'm a doctoral candidate at Aerospace Engineering. Last year, I've been part of a unique project where I was doing a STEM promotion in K-12 education. Since we have been talking about land grant status and greater good of the community, I think that's a very important aspect which hasn't been talked about a lot. In my discussions and works, I've heard a lot that there is a big disconnect between K-12 education and college education. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the quality of students who are coming in as freshmen, and I also emphasize on it because the dropout rates are quite high compared to what could be if the students are not facing such stiff challenge when they come in as freshmen, because they get scared, they drop out, they feel things are very difficult. So if for the greater good of the community, for being a land-grant university, I think reaching out in a bigger scale, in a different manner to K-12 education, which could potentially increase dramatically the quality of students coming in to the university. I think that could be a very interesting challenge going forward.
Good point.
Everybody will have a word to say this year.
Very good point.
Students get to say a lot. That's why we're here. So.
I also don't want to feel like I'm dominating, and excuse I'm getting over a cold. I talked a little bit about earlier why I think it's important that the new president would have legislative experience. I think I phrased that incorrectly, and after hearing these comments, I think I would call it more of skills with coalition building, because when it comes to addressing buildings such as the Memorial Union here, we have $26 million in deferred maintenance in this building alone. That's a significant amount of money, and the students voted not to raise their student fee to do it, so we're either going to have to find that money somewhere else or lobby the state to provide that to us. And the consequences of not getting that funding means that we'll lose one of the most integral buildings on our campus. So I think that the new president will have to be able to both leverage private money, but also go against the status quo that we see often in the leadership positions. I think over the past 5 years especially, we've seen the mentality, well, the state's not going to fund us more, so let's raise tuition. And I understand that that's necessary to keep the university going, but I also think that we need somebody who's willing to not necessarily have a standoff with the legislature or the governor, nothing like that, nothing that drastic. I'm saying that we need somebody who has the ability to question, well, maybe we should do this one little thing instead. And I think that when we approach our mission at the legislature, we need to have the president on board with multiple voices rather than just his office and the one lobbyist for the university working on things. So I think that we need to be able to build those coalitions to address the issues that we face.
Thank you. Would I see three people here that haven't had a chance to say anything. Would you care to make a contribution?
Sure. My name is Brad Schrader. I'm a member of the search committee. So I had a chance to talk at the previous session a bit. So I'll say a couple things. One thing is I think it is very important that our next president has a good, strong academic record, but a willingness and an ability to work with the private sector. And I think sometimes we see those as mutually exclusive, but I think you can find someone who does both very well. I hope that is the case. And the other thing is one of the themes that we've heard in all this, very important theme, is that we are getting bigger and more is expected of us. We are an extremely relevant institution, and we have a differentiated role to play in terms of developing agricultural technologies that help feed the world and solve problems of energy and address issues of technological change. And so we need to differentiate, but we're also acting like, in a way, we're acting like a cost leader institution. And more is better. And I think that's a big challenge and an issue that the president will face. And related to that is the idea of student programs from study abroad to classroom size, building size, and the idea there is that we are also searching for a new associate provost who will need to address those issues. So I believe our new associate provost will come from inside this institution, so that person will have an opportunity to work with the new president and help train the new president, but the new president then it should also strategically guide that person. Thank you.
It's important to say, you got a very impressive committee here, and several of them are here to hear. Would you care to say a word?
My name is Jessica Ward. I'm an assistant professor at the College of Veterinary Medicine, and I'm also a search committee member, so it's my honor to be serving on the committee. And I'm very encouraged and excited that at multiple listening sessions and even within our own committee debating, the same themes are coming out again and again. I really think we have, as a community, a very shared vision of what it is that we're looking for, and that's gratifying to hear. As a representative of the veterinary school, I would pull out the specific themes within the land-grant institution and within the concept of public-private partnerships, just the importance of agriculture to the state of Iowa, and making links for the new president will need to make very significant links with commodity group leaders here within the state. So again, that falls within the same themes we've already been discussing. Thank you.
It was my pleasure. I'm visiting the deans. We are visiting the deans. It was my pleasure to visit your school. Very impressive. And if you haven't all done that, It's the first in the country, I believe, and very highly ranked, and just one more reason to be very proud. Would you care to say a word? I don't. Thank you.
I'm also a member of the search committee. I represent the Alumni Association, and I'm really just wanting to hear what the rest of you have to say, but I do echo what you said. I was here at the earlier session today also, and the commonality of the comments is really encouraging, and I agree that we have strong direction in where we're going and are continuing to gather more and more information to get that direction. So thank you so much for your input.
Thank you. And would you care to say a word? Okay. And we have a very successful citizen farmer taxpayer. Would you care to say a word?
We'll give the board members a chance to say something. Well, way back last century, I was here for a few months. And I retired from farming a few years ago. The comment was made that agriculture is very important to Iowa. Iowa has the finest soil in the world. There's a little of it in China. But we have the opportunity and kind of the responsibility to lead in agriculture. The concern I have, when I was here, it wasn't maybe necessary to be a college graduate, but I want to tell you that farming is a more expensive is not the word I want to say, but it costs a lot to farm. It's a bigger business than probably 90% of Main Street businesses. And so this person, who I'm sure they, if they're a bit involved in agriculture, realize that. But the business of agriculture, it's a business, and it is a serious business because it's not just Iowa. The world is expanding population-wise immensely, quickly. And in order to keep those people fed, agriculture has to be able to produce.
Thank you very much. And I wondered if you cared to say something.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I just want to make sure that we make it easy for you to say a few words. A person who's a member of the chamber, a business person.
Yeah, from my perspective, I'm Sarah Hunter. I wear a couple different hats. I work for Vermeer Corporation. We have a location out at the Iowa State Research Park, and that has been in part due to the partnership that you guys have talked about, and I echo a number of the comments that Dan has made with regards to the private partnership, the industry partnership. We actually call it a collaboration, personally, within as we talk about the work that we do with Iowa State University. It's mutually beneficial on both sides. So we want the individuals coming out of Iowa State University ready to come work for us. So that's more of a collaboration when it comes to scoping projects correctly and working together to navigate. We just had a partnership and a project that we worked with the College of Design on, and it was extremely mutually beneficial on both sides of the fence for both of us. And because of our collaboration with the university, we've been able to build or work with the Iowa State Research Park and have a facility out there. And over the years, it's been mutually beneficial on both sides of the fence. So I see this person needing to want to continue to work with industry. I see there wasn't necessarily those opportunities when I graduated to have those capstone projects and some of those different things in the college that I was in to work with a company and provide them and provide myself with that actual opportunity. That came through internships or study abroad or some of those different things. So the fact that you have companies wanting to come to the table and it's being a part of the chamber, seeing all the companies that you have in town, we're pretty lucky as an Ames community to have world-class companies at the table that are sitting there that are working with you guys as students, that are working with faculty on a regular basis. So that partnership is really key from my perspective. And also, you know, there's challenges, and I think that relationship between the city, the chamber and the university is extremely important to continue to grow and work through those challenges that everybody faces.
Thank you. And another member of the search committee. Go ahead.
I have my own mic. I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Vivek Lawana. I'm currently serving as a president of Graduate and Professional Student Senate, and so I'm also part of the search committee. Truly honored to be part of the search committee. I met several group of people throughout past week and learned everything, so thanks for coming. I want to add one comment, which is a, I don't know, good or a bad challenge for this incoming candidate, would be that a lot in the university higher leadership is changing. We have fairly new, more than a couple senior vice presidents. So several deans are changing, including graduate college dean. Search is still going on, associate provost. So many of the higher administration is changing, and it can be a good or a bad challenge for a person to come in this new change of leadership of the whole university. So
I think I heard that one of the things that your new president, what I'm trying to just say what you said, is the ability to create a great team and be able to hire well, because it's going to change all the time and the new people. We welcome the media to have anything you'd care to say, sir. Would you care to say anything? Okay. I mean, the media is very important, I think. And I believe we'll make sure everybody, is there anything you'd care to say? Okay. And then I'm going to give this back to the guys really in charge.
Oh. I have one here. Yeah. You know, going off the last...
Hi, I'm Carol Custer. I'm Director of University Marketing, and there's a couple things here. I want an innovator. This university does so many things well. We're really humble, but we need to strike out and have some things that are very different about us. I'm looking for someone who understands tuition. Consumers do not like to be nickel and dimed with all these different kinds of things to add on to tuition. Consumer behavior has told us for 30 years that they hate that. Give me the price. Tell me what it's going to cost. But don't tell me it's going to be this plus this plus this. And if I'm in this, then it's that. And I'm looking for someone who understands the power of pricing in the marketing model for this university. I also want to see a president who loves students. I think we are ready for one. And what I mean is, because the student experience is our brand, I would like to see a president who thoroughly enjoys being with students on campus, sitting with them, listening to them. They've had a president's leadership class now since President Jiske. That's 30 students, freshmen. We have a whole lot more than 30 students who come into this university who could really take an opportunity to have some quality leadership time. And I just think that should be expanded. Those people who are in those 30, they end up getting all the kinds of awards later on when they're in school because they've had opportunities. And leadership is such a big part of what we do here that I hope we can find someone who absolutely revels in being with students, listening to them, thinking of ways to serve our students better. Integrity. Maybe you've already talked about that. We have to have integrity. Different parts of the United States define integrity differently. But Iowans have a certain way of defining integrity. And integrity and trust, those are big values for this university. And so we want to make sure that the next president understands the Iowa definition of integrity.
Diligently on the profile to tell that great story, and thank you for your hard work there. I would like to offer an opportunity, and I think we'll wrap this up. Would you care to? I understand, but I want you to be welcome. And then, if it's okay, co-chair, our boss, really, I don't want to put the board on a spot, but you're very important. If there's anything you'd care to say, we'll hear from you, and we have, but I want to give you the opportunity. Two former legislators, too, right? OK. Okay. Would you like to give the newest?
Sure. Glad to speak. I want to just sincerely thank each one of you for coming. This is a huge part of what we want to happen, is to have input from all sectors as much as possible. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. And as a newbie on the Board of Regents, I jump right in to the most important thing that we do, and that's to hire a tremendous president for each of our universities. So I'm excited about this process. I'm very pleased with how it's going and how it's outlined, and I think we're going to end up with one great president for Iowa State, and I'm really glad to do that as a graduate of here.
And Nancy, thank you. We had an opportunity to work together in another state when she was a legislative leader, and she got a lot of things done, and I thank you for that.
Well, I will just second what my colleague Nancy said. We also served together in the Iowa Senate for more years than we'll either one of us talk about. I view a president as the leader of the team, that he's a team leader, that he is going to surround himself or herself with the brightest people that they can. I think whether the president will have people that can address, I heard lots and lots of questions that you all had and desires, but one person 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, couldn't do everything that I heard here at this. But you certainly want a captain of the ship that can guide it right down the road properly. And I think there's no question in my mind. Of course, I'm a farm boy from down the highway here. But the fact that we're a great land-grant university is exceedingly important to my friends and in agriculture and stuff. That, if you go talk to the people, I'm an ag business attorney also, so I'm around agriculture all the time, but extremely important. When they come in my office, guess what they start doing? McKibben, what are you going to do? Who are you going to hire? And I said, I have no idea, but we have a great team of people coming. This is a destination university right now. If you look, yes, we have some problems with, I came here a couple of weeks ago, and I went into some of the science facilities and saw some of the facilities that I clearly know need help with the number of students that we have. We'll work on getting those done. But this is a destination university, and I guarantee you. Of course, see, I think AGB should cut the fee back about half because they're going to have so many people that want to come to this university, you will not believe it. I had to say that as a business person. But this is going to be a great opportunity.
This is another opportunity for me to talk about the importance of your search committee. They've been very carefully chosen. They have a big job, and they will spend hundreds of hours, literally, before this is done. They will become a group that bonds, I assure you. But the most important thing is that all of you know who they are, because you can keep talking with them and influencing them, because they are a big decision maker until it gets to the top board will make a decision, finally. And so don't hesitate to know your representatives and give them advice. And I appreciate the students particularly, and we look forward to meeting with them. And then I want to make sure that the photographer has a chance to say something if she'd like to.
And then...
If you'd like to say... You're welcome. Thank you.
Jim, may I suggest something? Jim?
Yes.
I think...
You're the man now. Co-chair.
We said at the beginning that we wanted to hear also from everybody why somebody should come to Iowa State, and I would like to spend some time asking that. You know, we talked a lot about the challenges, which I do have to say, I think every challenge can be translated into an opportunity, and that's important, an important exercise that we'll do in the committee. But also I would like to hear, you know, if you were in front of these candidates, why should that person come to Iowa State, to Ames, to Iowa? What is the argument?
You have so much to say, but let's talk about that. And that's a good way to close our meeting with the wonderful things that are here.
Cody?
No. You represent the students, 40,000 or whatever.
2 minutes. No, I'm kidding. So I can speak a little bit on, excuse me, on that, because I'm an out-of-state student myself. When I came to Iowa, when I came to visit Iowa State, I'd never even been to the state of Iowa. I didn't know a single soul on campus. And when I came here, one, because, I mean, the website was really nicely branded, and I like branding, so I enjoyed that. But I also came here because I knew it was a land-grant university. I grew up a huge Purdue fan, and I knew the mission of a land-grant, and I knew that Iowa State was one of the best in the world. And I also knew that for what I wanted to study for agriculture and political science, you can't get a better state in the United States, and let alone a better institution to study those things. So the things that drew me here were the prestige of the university standing in the world and in the United States, and then also the experience that I could tell students were having during my brief visit here. It took 12 hours in one day just for me to know that I wanted to attend this university. And you don't get that if there's not a good morale here, if there's not a good experience here. You don't see that. And so I think, and that's from a student's perspective, but I think from a president's perspective, they want to go to a place where they can be proud to represent. They want to go to a place where they never get sick and tired of talking about it 365 days, 24 hours a day, every year. So I think that that's something that's really important, and it's definitely something that makes Iowa State a very unique and a destination university, as Larry said before.
So it will not be an institution that will be tired of bragging about. Okay, good. I like that.
Well, I'd offer this as an awesome opportunity for the next president because of what Mr. Becker said. You know, the center of the universe for agriculture is here. And as you look at the challenges in our around the globe, they're going to continue. We're going to have more people. We're going to need to feed more people, and it's certainly a business. It's very, very big business. We see that from the manufacturing of equipment like Vermeer Corporation to a producer, and all points in between. And it's innovation and excellence from Iowa State University, specifically our College of Agriculture, that's driving a lot of that. So our Secretary of Agriculture in our state is an Iowa State graduate and a very passionate person about this institution as well, and a great partner to this institution. We've got all these partners across the country and around the globe that support this institution and support the things that we're doing in ag, in engineering, and the list goes on and on of things that are so greatly impactful, not just in Ames or in the Research Park or in Des Moines. It's around the world where this institution is renowned. And so I think that's the awesome opportunity, is someone gets to lead this great engine in all these different directions that are so meaningful and so impactful long after their tenure is over. I'll stop there.
No, thank you. Others?
What other things?
Okay. Anybody else want to?
I can add to, I guess, what I was talking about earlier in terms of K-12 education. I think it's a very important aspect which would determine the quality of students, as I said earlier, and determine the dropout rates if that can be reduced. I think the overall output of the university in terms of the graduates coming out of the university can increase quite in a meaningful way. Even if 1% dropouts from a big major like mechanical engineering are not dropping out, I think that's very important. And from my understanding, it's the lack of advanced courses at the K-12 level, which is necessarily not preparing students to cope up with the university requirements, which we should not be diluting to just reduce the dropout rates, of course. Because we have to keep those higher. So I think, again, going back to and strengthening that background, which obviously would also serve for the greater good for the community, is, I think, I would again want to emphasize. Thank you.
I think the university has an interest in bettering itself and enhancing itself. While we have strong traditions that we're proud of and we know our history after being here for years, I think we're still a university that is willing to ask, how can we change this? How can we better ourselves? What can we do differently? Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know if every university is as willing as Iowa State to question the way we do things to make sure that we're still relevant to everybody.
Thank you. And then, how many years have you served this university? You don't have to, but I think you probably know a lot about your
Yeah, well, it's over 38 years. But I think adding to what everybody has said, this is really a vibrant place. It is student-centered. It's a university that really values undergraduate teaching and really about the learning of the students. It values the research and the connectivity between getting the research done and extending it out to the various stakeholders, whether it's a farmer or an ag business, or it's a community, or it's a particular group within the community. So I think it really embraces all aspects of the land-grant mission. Yes, we are good, but we can get better. I think that's one of the things that is quite clear about this university is that we don't just rest on our laurels and say that's good enough. You know, we just can continue to do innovation and introspection, trying to be better is really part of us. And I think one other thing is important, and that is we're very collaborative. I've been at a number of other universities, both in my past and also just knowing colleagues at other universities, and this is really a very collaborative place. From the faculty to faculty, from faculty to students, across all different levels. So that's important. That's why somebody would want to come here and be our president.
We'll just tape all that and send it to the final top three candidates or something like that. One more back here, I see, would like to make a comment. Please, thank you.
Thanks, Jim. On the other end of the spectrum, I think that I have probably been at Iowa State for less time than anyone on the search committee and potentially anyone else in this room, because I was hired less than 2 years ago. So this is my first faculty position. And sometimes when I think about that, I think, gosh, what can I say about Iowa State that hasn't been said by these folks who've been here for much longer? But at the same time, I just chose to come to Iowa State. So I'm the most recent person to have said, this is the place I want to be. And what I can add to that is I interviewed at many places and eventually decided to come to Iowa State. And I can say that now when I look back at those other interviews, when I think about my colleagues at other institutions, none of them experience close to the opportunities and the support of my college that I do. The amount that I've been able to do within my college and within my department since I've gotten here, the receptivity to new ideas and to change has been really pretty fantastic. And so from that perspective of coming in just recently, I would just like to share that about my experience here at this university.
Thank you so much, and thanks for inviting me to your college. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yes, thank you. And now we give it back to the co-chair. You have two great co-chairs. One gentleman is the chief executive officer of Principal, one of the great largest life insurance companies in the world, probably. And one of them is your dean. And your business person is a graduate of the university and cares deeply. And so for the people that are leading the search, right here they are.
Well, I'm not sure if there's much more to add. I want to emphasize a couple of things. What you just said about the university being the most recent hire in this group, this ability that you have to exert change in your department, in your college, is something that I've heard also about the state of Iowa. People have told me here every time you have a good idea, you know, you will find somebody that will listen and we'll support your work. So I think that is important to actually put forth to all these candidates. In fact, one example is what we just saw in the session this morning, or we see this afternoon. I have in the same room, you know, board of regents, you know, public officials, leaders in the private sector, students, academics, all talking about the future of this institution and by extension of the state. And that's something that is hard to do. Very hard to do, actually, in many, many other places. You know, if you have a great idea, you can assemble these kind of people, and I think that's something we need to make sure that people hear. So I will add to Joe, and Joe will not let me lie about this. One thing that people told me when I was hired for my position, I was recruited to come here around 8 years ago, was, you know, you're not going to find a leadership team that works better together. You know, the relationship between deans and provosts and, you know, this group of people is extremely close. We can come with big problems, you know, to the table. We meet every 2 weeks. you know, all the deans. There's always a way of finding a solution for to a problem, and that is an opportunity. We were talking about the potential challenge that might be all the hires are going on at the same time. I'm not sure if the challenge is to find the people. It's actually to do it in a way that will not disrupt this collegiality that exists in the university, and that can be an opportunity also for people to come. So I'll just add one more thing fast. Not as a community, not as a co-chair, not as a committee member, but as a member of my faculty. You know, we talked a great deal of what the traditional definition is of the land grant and what it means for some disciplines. You know, agriculture being probably the exemplar. You know, we are the best university for agriculture in the world. One thing that was very attractive to me is to try to understand what it means for other disciplines. How do we jump into that? What does it mean to be, you know, one of the best colleges of design, you know, in a land-grant institution, you know? And there is something very special in trying to reinvent, you know, what it means both for the disciplines and for the institution. For us, what does it mean to have to be a great department of humanities, you know, in a land-grant institution? It's a question that needs to be asked. And I'm not sure if the person will immediately have a response, but somebody has the, at least will consider the question, will be thoughtful about, you know, what the initial approaches will be for that, is something that I think will be very important for us, because that is at the core of what innovation means, to bring all these different disciplines to work together, you know, in addressing some of these big challenges. So,
I discovered in my listening that the provost, this dean, and Janice are all Carnegie Mellon people, which is, regardless of what you might say, one of the great innovative universities in America. So I think there's a little Carnegie Mellon connection here.
I'll tell you one anecdote. You know, when I came here, so not this provost, but the previous one, there was a conversation with some new regents, and they were talking about the issues of rankings and prestige and things like that. And I do remember somebody in the room, I will not name names, said, well, we may not be able to be better recognized than Carnegie Mellon and so and so and so. But you know, we'll do really well. And that year in particular, I was able to say, you know what, in these particular areas in my college, we're better recognized than my previous institution. So I think, you know, it is a great institution. I think our aspiration is to be, you know, as good or better.
Yes. And the last word, Janice?
Okay.
I think we are grateful to all of you for being here and taking this time this afternoon to talk, and I hope all of you will continue to be engaged through this process. Thank you very much.
A couple of things. Please invite everybody. There are two more sessions tomorrow, 8:30, second floor here, and then we have one downtown, and Dan already sent the invitation to 1,500 people, you know, this morning. We hope to get as many people as possible in the of the community to these two sessions, and then there is a session with students, and there's one also with PNS Council. Ask all the people in your network, your friends, to come to these sessions. It's really, really important. They are going to be available. They're public. You can hold us accountable, you know, for what you say and what we do in the future. And just remind you that what's my standard for success in this committee is that a year from now, we're all going to be very proud and admit that we served in this search committee, because the results are going to be so good. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.